On clause one, is there any further deliberation of one? Sibiso? Sorry, can you speak into the mic? Is there a mic, a roaming mic? Where's the other roaming mic? Are we looking at the report or the bill?
No, I said my apologies.
Yeah, sure, on the report.
Yeah,
no problem.
On the report.
Now, don't look at the committee team, eh? I mean, they're working very, very, very hard. Really. Once again, there's nothing they can do. They're not taking the next one. I mean, the committee system is crumbling under the pressure of the work of this committee. Or I think this one, I don't know, the other one's not working, is it?
Yeah, Chase, just one.
Yeah, sorry.
Just one point. On page 3, the last paragraph, we are saying that National Treasurer also submitted a legal opinion from private in accounts advocate Jeremy Conflict.
Which one? We on page 3? Number 11. Yeah.
On page 3, number 11.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that it's not just submitting the report. Advocate Conflict was here. You understand? We're just saying it's submitted. It was not just submitted. We engaged with Advocate Conflict himself. In the committee.
I think that's what it's meant to mean, but we can change it. In fact, that's what it's meant to mean, but if you feel unhappy about it, we can change it. Is that okay? Can we just make that clear, Advocate Jenkins? Yeah, but that's what it's meant to mean. Thanks for that anyway, Sir Peter. Okay, on clause 1, it's on page 2 of the text of the bill. Now, this basically refers just to be utterly clear, Frank and MP, she can post MP, please, the committee is sitting, right?
But can you reformulate the text?
Oh. On the report. Yeah, it's a minor thing. I mean, we can sort it out, no problem. We're not doing it here, we've never done it. Oh, okay, right, fine. Okay, can you note also that Sandy is doing overtime work? Now, on the issue of license, on the issue of the first clause basically is the routine thing, you don't need a license for that, right? Okay. The second one, can you quickly go through it to me? Yeah, MP?
The second one is in 4A1C. Can I just start from the beginning? The first one is one that you mentioned, it's a licensed premises and you don't need to worry. The second one is with unlicensed business premises and the private residence is where you conduct business. And for that one, you either require a warrant or require consent.
Yeah, they can't hear, I'm afraid.
Sorry, so the second one is it's unlicensed business premises or private residence. Where business are suspected to be conducted, or is actually a license for that purpose. Now for that, there's three scenarios. You can get a warrant, or you can send a consent of the relevant people, or you can use private authority from the FRC director or the relevant supervisory body on the head. So those are the three scenarios. For that one. That is the warrant requirement is in 1A and in 1B. And in 1C is the one that specifically was the subject matter of the president's referral. We now included that you must obtain either the consent of the occupant in the case of private residence and also the person in control of the business. And then the second scenario is the prior authority one, which I mentioned. I don't know if I can go through the chair, or should I stop?
Okay, any questions? Okay, to me it's straightforward and clear that what I can tell, nothing can change. But I just want us to pay painstaking attention to this then. Okay, is there any questions then? Okay, the next point.
And then in 45B, B1D, it basically indicates how inspection should be conducted. Now, there's a couple of requirements. The one is dealing with women's access to the premises. Now, in the case of if it's a licensed premises, it's saying you should do it during ordinary business hours. And if it's an unlicensed business premises or private residence and meeting the other requirements, again, it should be generally, sorry, may I just give the first example. If it's a warrant, the warrant will tell you when you can enter. If you do it with consent, you must do it during the ordinary business hours. If you do it with the fire authority of the relevant supervisory body or the FIC director, and the general rule is still ordinary hours, but if the inspector believes that the purpose will be defeated, then it must be done as close as possible to ordinary and business hours. Then there's also a requirement of reasonable notice that applies to when you enter licensed premises. And then it also applies in the instance, when you enter with the consent or prior authority. And then there's two general requirements that you must respect constitutional rights.
Yeah, I think that's straightforward.
That applies to all kinds
of things. Yeah, that's true, yeah. All right. Okay, thanks. So we are done. So can I ask that, according to Alan, this doesn't follow the normal procedure. I've never been in this situation before. We vote through a report in that way, right? All we do is we vote on the bill as a whole, right? Is that right? And the report as is. Okay, so we're voting on the bill. Is there a mover and a seconder? Sepito? Thank you, Pinky. And then on the report, a mover and a seconder? Thank you, Pinky. A seconder? Thank you. Right, now to come back to the debate, because I've had a lot of discussions with the officers concerned. I'm pleading with opposition parties, there's only one here. I will also speak to Mr. Chivambu. The House Chair is obliged to restrict you to this section. So your speculation about why this came here, which family or other is behind it, who instructed it and all, not germane. You can get advice from this. It's a very limited debate, and the issue is not a policy one. It's really repeating what Sumania and Johnson said and the other lawyers, and it's covered in this report. So my job will be just to take us through this report on behalf of the committee. And then I think each of you will be given, I think, an opportunity to speak. But I know the one person in particular I want to speak to is not here. He or she is going to raise issues that are really not relevant to this issue. They can have a debate on the 14th of March and so on. So I think the chair should be briefed by between Frank Jenkins and me, because they're new chairs and they've never had this House chair, never had this opportunity to manage this process. So we must focus on this thing, and that's what it's about. That's all I'm pleading for. There's only hacking two about it. Then on a second matter, which is very good news, one of our two excellent secretaries, Alan Wickham, is about to have a baby in the family tomorrow. And let us congratulate him and wish him and his wife Rebida well. I also want to tell you that he's been having certain challenges, which is not appropriate to mention here around that. And he's been coming into work, and I keep telling him to please go. And Tepoho has really come to the party. But no, the man insists on coming. So really, he's an outstanding committee secretary, and Tepoho is doing excellent work as well. So I want to, on behalf of the committee, wish you well, Alan. And our view is you can take as much time up as the managers. Paternity leave is a right as part of our concern. You know, in Sweden and so on, they get 3 months off, Pinky. Men do. Not that Pinky's listening, but men do. 3 months off. Is that right? Anybody know about Sweden and Scandinavian countries? Then finally, on the IRBA, I was going to draft a letter and present it to you for consideration, but I just didn't get the time. I would like to ask if it's okay to write a letter along this line to say, following the hearings last week, look, I've been negotiating endlessly since late November, and I know a lot more about what's going on and the undercurrents. So maybe some of this may not have meaning to you. Write a letter that basically says the majority because I'm sure the TA won't agree. I think that the majority in the committee is very sympathetic or agrees broadly with the principle of MAFI. Secondly, that the majority in the committee is not clear how this links to transformation and deracialization and all that. Thirdly, it is important as far as possible to negotiate, and we think it's too polarized now, whether we like it or not. The balance of forces at the moment with a market economy and the global and domestic economy being as perilous as it is, it's a powerful force. And really, you know, unless you want to have a workers' interaction from below, you know, you have to negotiate. And so I'm not going to say all that, but the subtext of it is, please negotiate. And don't be mechanical around the board lapsing in the third week of March. That's the main consideration. And to be fair, comrades, colleagues, I've listened to both sides. And I said this, but I want to say this the more I think about it. There has not been enough consultation, in the sense we've argued. It's more, we're doing this thing, we have the power to do it, it's long overdue, let's do it. I think it was very well nice captured by Sir Piso and Pinky. So we're supporting him. In fact, when he came here last year, we supported him. It's just that you don't carry powerful people with you. They have ways and means of circumventing you. And finally, you say, look, we've exhausted consultations. Now we're doing it. The other problem I have is I hear in the grapevine there are legal challenges also. So what I'm saying is, can I write a letter along those lines if you can mandate me to write a letter that says, yeah, well, the majority is sympathetic, and I'll send you a copy of the letter, but just negotiate for a few more months. Is that more or less what you want to say? Okay, then the thing is, I like to bring to the committee as far as possible the statements we issued, between Justice Mulafo and myself. But obviously, committee chairs have had the power since 1994 to issue statements. And if a committee disagrees with the chair, they can come in and say, we disagree with you, and then the committee chair has to issue a statement to say, the committee apologizes. It's never happened in this parliament, I know. But I have to act very swiftly on media contacting me Thursday morning on the collusion matter. So, between Justice and me, we just dropped a quick statement. We had a deadline late on Thursday afternoon. Okay? So I think the one by Justice, I will send it to you. Basically, the line was, obviously, colleagues, just a quick thing. It's really like the NPA taking a matter to court, as I explained to Bullen. So now the Competition Commission is referred to the tribunal. The tribunal is likely to be equivalent of a judge. They will decide ultimately on the guilt or otherwise of all the parties concerned. But already you can see, some people have reached out and said, let's settle, that there has been collusion and so on. The degree to which it happened, we don't know. So the statement simply says that, it's long overdue, we welcome it, we welcome the reference to the tribunal. Something was done very quickly by myself, and I said it to Justice, he tinkered with it, that basically what we're saying here is that we'll await the tribunal's decision-making, and then we will look at this matter in a structured way. In the meanwhile, it will come up in any case on the 14th of March. It's an open hearing. People can say what they want, unlike the current hearing we had on the FICA bill. Also, they went on to say that this once again reinforces the need for the financial sector regulation bill to be finalized swiftly between the two houses, and that we may have to look at tighter regulation to try to reduce this happening. And they went on to say that once again it emphasizes the need to deal with the monopoly of the four banks, the need for transformation and deracialization, and the need for new entrants like a post bank. And they suggested that we basically want the banks to play a more effective role in economic growth and development goals in their own interest and the country's interest. And that the transformation, you're not implying like a, doesn't derive from a reckless populism that wants to, like, ultimately, you know, sort the banks out in a crude way, and then the poor suffer, the poor and the disadvantaged, and as far as possible, want to negotiate this, like this economic codessa too tight. So that's the thrust of it, okay? I'll send it to you, but it's consistent with what the majority party has been saying. So that statement was issued. So what I'm saying in short is, it would be more appropriate for us to allow the 14th of March issues to surface. Secondly, that we have a structured discussion once the tribunal is finished. There is a conduct of financial institution bill spending. We've already raised the issues there. And I think we should look into tighter regulation if it's necessary. Finally, there is a secondary, a minority point of view that it had no impact whatsoever on the rand. But that sort of trading, you know, you can see the stuff. You know, Dewa van Rensburg in the City Press this morning on one of the TV stations, a very articulate presentation. And there's Stuart Theobald in Business Day this morning and so on. So what I'm saying is, let's deal with the matter, but let's deal with it the way a parliament should. We can't preempt the outcomes of the tribunal's decision. So that's it. Any comments on that for now? No. The other thing to say is that the bank's own interest to be here on the 14th of March, the banking association is ready to come. I think banks should participate. Any ideas that they come in here with a pre-decided thing, the parliament can only write a report to the executive. Let everybody participate, and I have been engaging regularly with Joan Park, and the thrust of the discussion is going to be, just to let you know, we've decided that we'll call in the Department of Trade and Industry to speak on what has been the progress on the implementation of the Financial Sector Charter. We'll invite the Financial Sector Charter Council to come to speak to us. We'll invite Treasury to comment, and we'll invite NEDLAC to come and speak. And that gives you an overview of what's been happening from the state side. And then we throw it open, everybody gets 15 minutes. We'll cluster them, and as far as possible, include everybody. And that means endless city, so be it. Finally, I only heard last week that we are not sitting in plenary after the 16th of March, right? So we have whole day sitting. So instead of sitting on Fridays, I would suggest what we've done in this committee. We sit from 10 to 4 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and we can even sit on Thursdays, so we don't have to sit on Fridays, which means we can start moving into the insurance bill. I didn't realize it. Is there any other announcement? No. Then there's something strange happening at 2 o'clock today, if I may say so. Sorry, Vicky?
No,
we mobilize it. No, can you help? Yes, I think Vicky's right. What we want is to do all of that. So I've asked Treasury to give me a list of structures and DTIs being up. Can we ask comrades, please? I will try to get some funding, right? I've been battling the Chief Whip's office, and we have to go to the Speaker's office. We avoid a situation where even with black business, it's the big black business that's here. Those who can afford to fly in and out. Not small black business, not the stock fells, not the informal traders and so on. So we will try to do that thinking. In the meanwhile, can members suggest, we've advertised in the website already, it's going to the papers this weekend, and it's going to be in community newspapers and on the radio and I don't know what else. We would like you to give us names of structures that don't normally come to Parliament, whom we can invite, women's organizations that are dealing with the economy and small business sector and informal sector and so on. Okay, so what else is left? Daniel. Okay, thank you all. See you on Thursday. Or tomorrow. Sorry? Ah, yes, 2 o'clock. Sorry. Oh, yes, let me read something else. Yeah, I said, what's the idea? Yeah, there's something strange there. I got a call late yesterday asking me to serve on a panel at 2 o'clock because they suddenly realized that falls under tax. I'm not sure why SCOPA is. It's an outcome of an engagement with SCOPA and the EU. I will discuss with my colleague Sembagodi, and we don't have a problem. Everybody can leave. The more the merrier, but then it has to be structured. And we are sitting on the 15th of March with illicit financial flows. And comrades, I must plead with you. We will try to get Luzipo's committee and Joe's committee, but trying to get these committees here will be hard. And we're focusing more on tax issues. There's something else to quickly report. I was away for 36 hours in London late last year. It was the night, the last Friday. And I spoke at a conference, and I'm doing a report at the moment. There is one issue that normally when a chair goes or a representative goes to a conference, I've checked with the rules people and so on. You don't do an adoption of a report. You should be tabled it. not many committees here do, table and say, this is what happened. So I'll table my speech, nothing controversial there, but there is something that's different. It was a global tax transparency conference where they asked parliaments throughout the world to support openness and transparency of multinationals. I checked with the House Chair, I checked with the International Relations Chair, I checked with Treasury, and so on. There's nothing there that's inconsistent with what we're all doing. So the committee needs to adopt that. It's a one page and there's nothing there. The DA might have some reservations, it's true, but as far as the majority party goes, there's nothing there. So we need to adopt, not my report, you don't adopt reports, you just table them, adopt that thing, so that we report back that, because I couldn't speak on behalf of the committee or parliament. And I said, well, I could sign, but I think it's fair just to go through the committee. So we just signed it individual MPs from globally. So I'll give you a report on that. But on the illicit financial flows, there's a sitting at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Those of you who can go, the chief whip has been informed, and I think the House Chair, that this is happening. So I think some of us are exempt. But go and sign in there, and go there, or go there and then come back to sign. Finally, on the World Bank meeting, they are here anyway on those dates. So they're saying they can't restructure the dates, and they said they'll just meet with me, and I said no. What I've suggested now, I know the DORA debate is taking place that afternoon. We are sitting till 3 p.m. that day with illicit financial flows. So on the 15th, I would like, as many of you as possible, come to meet with them. It's the new developed World Bank, what they call it, head in South Africa, in Swane. And there's a woman there that we deal with before, Makosi was a member. We went 2 years ago to the Parliamentary Network on the World Bank, Naya Batteries in Paris, the headquarters. She's coming in to talk to us a bit about parliamentary oversight, World Bank, more effective oversight. So it's in our interest to meet them. Never mind what we think about the World Bank. So that will take place anyway because there's no choice. If nobody's there, I'll sit there and give them some time to discuss with them. But I know that organization. It's nice if some of you came. Thank you all.